Welcome to the Bugle Weekly. I'm Adam Semeca, and yes, I've spent actual sats at Steak and Shake this week. Because nothing says sound money revolution like beef tallow fries paid for with freedom money while the fiat world burns. People always ask me how I do it. It's not for money or fame. It's because the only thing I'm more committed to than building the Steak and Shake treasury is making sure I get a full 40 hours of Bitcoin podcast per week. Stop being influenced by NPCs, and let the influencers do their jobs. We're here to navigate the revolution's buggy UX, monitor the situation, and remind you why you're still listening.
I think BIP 110 people actually need to thank the Bugle. If it wasn't for your hard work in vilifying plebs, the movement would have been smaller, but you went full COVID propaganda, and now we are here.
The Bugle? Those fucks? Yeah, here's the thing about the Bugles. They're credentialed. Not reporters, journalists. Now, I don't know what the fuck that means anymore either. But anyways, they're okay. A little fucking weird, but, you know, you can put up with them weekly. Once a week's enough. Sometimes it's too much, but that's okay. They're nice boys. They're good men. Sorta, I think. Anyways, if you want to spend your time with it, you're going to hear some shit. And whatever you hear, just know it's through a lens of sarcasm that runs deep through your blood and out your ass. That's how it's going to go. So it's kind of a treat. It's like a party. Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Greaser. Yeah, it's a way to pass the time. That's all you really need, right? I think so.
Hey, this is Mark Goodwin of Unlimited Hangout. I just want to shout out Bugle on your 100th Bugle Weekly. It's a big part of my life. Every week I gather the UB key, my signing devices to log into Noster, bring the family around, and we listen to it every week. Without fail, it's our Johnny Carson. It's our David Letterman. It's our Daily Show. And just congratulations on this historic milestone. And never stop. Keep going. Keep glazing. Glaze on.
Hi, this is Erin from Hell Money Podcast, the sister podcast to The Bugle. The Bugle plays a really important role in discourse because it's kind of like our New York Post or our Perez Hilton. You think that the important news is this like macro, you know, econ, politics stuff, but it's really not. It's really about the personal lives of Bitcoin podcasters and influencers. And I think the Bugle is consistently delivering time after time on that front. So keep up the good work, boys.
Folks, welcome back to the Bugle Weekly. This is episode 101. We hit the 100 episode milestone. And, you know, like Bugle fashion, we don't do things like anybody else. We are unique as credentialed journalists. And so we are doing the big celebration for episode 101. This is the episode. We're going to glaze ourselves a little bit. We're going to talk about what's going on in the news. But yeah, we're over 100 episodes, 100 weeks of the Bugle Weekly. Rod, how do you feel about it? Are you as proud of our work as I am?
Time flies. It feels like it was just yesterday that we started. Time flies when you're recording Bitcoin podcasts. I mean, you listen to 40 hours a week. I wasn't even paying attention. I didn't realize we were coming up on 100. And then you mentioned that we were trying to do, something special for episode 100. We missed that. So you did it for this one. But yeah, like you caught up with me. I didn't even realize we were at 100 because, you know, it's like I said, time flies. I've been having so much fun. It doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like a job. But yeah, it's enough. To do a victory lap should be proud to make it to 100 podcast episodes. A lot of people start a podcast. Not everybody makes it to 100 episodes. So that's an achievement. It is.
Well, you know, I'm not typically an anniversary type guy, but it was Kaylee that really made a stink about it and told me that we needed to make this a special episode. You know, because that's how women are, you know, like I imagine if there were no women in the world, like there'd be no anniversaries, there'd be probably be a lot less holidays. There wouldn't be Valentine's Day. There wouldn't be, you know, we probably wouldn't celebrate her birthdays. It's just that, you know, women, they love anniversaries for whatever reason. And, you know, I got in a fight with Kaylee because she made such a big deal about it. I wasn't thinking about it either. And it almost felt like I was forgetting the wedding anniversary between me and my wife, like how upset she got with me.
Yeah, that's true. I missed the 100th anniversary of this podcast. I miss all the anniversaries. And how am I sleep on the pullout couch several times a year because I miss all the important anniversaries. But that is the value of having a female producer. Although it's little things like that, the little details that we're just too busy cypherpunking to stop and remember the anniversaries.
Yeah. Leave it to the woman to remember all the unimportant things that you need to be remembering. I don't know. I mean, it's been a sloppy week. It's, you know, the fog of war is really being unleashed in a way that never has before with the war going on. People are debating on whether Benjamin Netanyahu is dead right now, which would be a massive development. We'd have to, if he's dead, we'd have to completely change our strategies going into Memorial Day. We couldn't blame Benjamin Netanyahu for all of our problems. We'd have to find somebody else to, but...
I think there was a video that was circulating on the internet on Friday, and Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent was called out of a live interview. He was signed, but President Trump needs to talk to you immediately. So the interview was paused. And when he came back, his demeanor had totally changed. He was very shaken. And this is why the video is going viral. It was this distinction in his attitude. He was very shaken. And people are speculating that he was told that Benjamin Netanyahu was killed in an attack by Iran. And he was shaken because he no longer had immunity after this presidential administration. If Benjamin Netanyahu was alive, then any incrimination, any trial, any investigation into the, if, you know, did anything wrong in a political trial, he would be able to claim I had to do it. It was Benjamin Netanyahu. It was his orders. But Benjamin Netanyahu dies. There's no, people have to face accountability for their actions. This is what some of us were looking forward to in White Boy Summer, is being responsible for ourselves again and taking personal responsibility. But politicians don't like that. And if you want to back up a little bit, if you go back to my Twitter timeline at the end of 2025, and you listen to these episodes of this podcast, I was talking about 2026 be the year of announcements. It's going to be a wave, a slap tsunami wave, and a wave of just tons of announcements where we're going to be able to keep track of them. And I only knew, or only predicted this based on, you know, Aaron Redwing talked about in astrology that the acceleration of the first turning was going to take place sometime around February. And I was anticipating it, but here we are in the midst of war. The Strait of Hormuz is on fire. The Ayatollahs are being assassinated by cruise missiles left and right. Dubai is burning to the ground because of drones from Iran. Israel, the whole war is just, the OSINT slop has never been worse. And the announcements, the bullshit announcements, the fake news, is Benjamin Netanyahu dead? Are these videos of this city, I think it is, like, are these new, or is this AI slop? We have no idea what's going on in the world because there's just so many announcements, and we have no idea which announcements are legitimate, including reports of the assassination of Benjamin Netanyahu. And people are saying every picture of him or video is AI. People are saying that he hasn't been seen, but nobody knows. It's even if you monitor their situation closely, it's very difficult to know what's going on in the Middle East. And the prediction markets are just all over the place because people are going to the prediction markets for signal, for truth. And the markets aren't even resolving because nobody, not even Polymarket or Predicts or Kalshi, has any idea which announcements are valid.
Well, it makes it really hard to settle these prediction markets because you need like an oracle of truth, which is hard. Who is the oracle of truth in this age of slop?
It used to be in the Pop Crave account on Twitter. If a celebrity died, he knew it was real because it was like TMZ Pop Crave. If he was news, you knew based on if it was an official statement from the Pentagon or from the New York Times or from CoinDesk. Like those oracles, those trusted oracles, some might call them credentialed oracles. They give all lost legitimacy, and it's not even necessarily the individual organization's fault. It is, they don't even know themselves. Even when they try to get the truth, they can't find it.
Well, one person I know definitely is not an oracle of truth. It is a counterindicator, kind of like David Bailey, is Kim.com. Doesn't mean that everything, I think the problem with counterindicators like David Bailey and Kim.com is they are wrong so often that you just kind of assume when you look at their tweets that all of them are wrong. Everything that they say is wrong, but every once in a while, it's kind of like the issue with the broken clock is like it's right twice a day. So it keeps you on your toes. I don't think like anybody has a track record of being 100% wrong.
No, but Kim.com is a good example. I mean, Kim.com is the physical embodiment of sloppy. He's overweight. He's very unhealthy. He probably has diabetes. And people talk about like post physique. If you are that overweight, it is difficult for you to monitor the situation closely enough to be anything close to signal in your predictions. And Kim.com is just not one of those people where you can just literally see by looking at him that it's law. His opinions are slop.
Well, you're kind of overweight too. What differentiates you from Kim.com other than credentials?
My weight is not the result of my lack of physical activity, my discipline, my diet. My weight is simply the result. And, you know, Dr. Jack Cruz has the same issue. His towel belly is the result of the 5G signals and the infrared lights. Unfortunately, I have a job that requires me to go into cities like Las Vegas and in countries like El Salvador. It fries your thyroid. So it's a thyroid problem.
Oh, I see. And you think Kim.com, he just eats Doritos. That's his problem.
Yeah. Doritos, whatever they sell in New Zealand.
I don't know why anybody would live in New Zealand. What a weird country. They all talk wrong there.
And the toilets flush backwards. I think they drive on the wrong side of the road, too.
Sounds like fucking hell to me. Talk wrong, drive on the wrong side of the road. Just, I don't know.
As we talk about this, though, the Benjamin Netanyahu rumors have accelerated or advanced. They're apparently the Israelis put out pictures of Benjamin Netanyahu, but similar to you last week and Jim Carrey, people thought that it was a body double. And there was a lot of speculation about Joe Biden using body doubles and doing the same type of photo analysis on the timeline. But apparently now Israel is using a fake BB. There's a fake BB running around trying to fool people. That's some real BB.
Well, it's not that hard to fool the plebs with a fake figurehead. You know, they did this with Biden for 4 years, and, you know, people talked about him like he was a real person. People voted for him. Mike Brock voted for him.
I mean, there's a lot of politicians who are just proxies for other interests. The combination of interests, but we haven't had a Claude Vaught BB yet. We don't know if a Claude.DB can run the Middle East. We don't know if a Claude.DB can control the U.S. government. Now, I think that they prepared. I think that they were ready for this. I think they were ready for the fact that eventually DB would die and they would need to have an AI slot version of him, a bot version of him to continue running in his after he passed. I don't think they were expecting it this week. So is Claude.DB ready for showtime? Maybe. We'll find out.
The memes are getting, they're getting better. Like the White House is like one of the top meme accounts on Twitter right now. It's pretty brutal. They seem to understand the broccoli haircuts. It's just there seemed like there was this lapse for a while in political marketing where there was just complete disconnect with the population. It seems like they understand the memes. They're like, oh, everybody's played Wii bowling, so we're gonna Wii golf. So we're gonna start using Wii memes. It's very millennial centric.
Yeah, 2024, maybe a little bit before that, was the great pivot from marketing, especially political propaganda type marketing, from targeting the boomers to targeting the zoomers. There's a quote, and I think I mentioned it on this show before. There comes a point in time when the memes of military-age males are the only memes that matter. It doesn't matter what the boomers like on Facebook. It doesn't matter what the millennial chongus is like on, whatever they use. What's the Tumblr? Millennials on Tumblr. It matters what the zoomers, the broccoli haircuts on TikTok find funny and find interesting. So the memes of military-aged males are now dominating the narrative. And the boomers are freaking out. I mean, the boomers, the Karen boomers are blowing whistles. They're blowing the whistle on this pivot in Minneapolis. And so are the millennials. And two millennials lost their lives on the front lines of this. But the media of Nick Shirley, Clavicular, Nick Fuentes, and these types, they dominate the narrative now. Even if it upsets the unks, the OGs, and those types.
Yeah. Well, anyways, we're going to be releasing this episode Monday. And we're going to do the bracket drops on Monday as well. This is really the calm before the storm. This, our next episode, we're going to be in the middle of the madness, of Maxi Madness. I don't really know what to anticipate. We got some new things happening this year. We're going to be on Noster. I imagine the UX is going to be bad for that. But, I don't know. I don't really know what to predict this year. It's definitely going to be bigger than ever before. It's very different changes. I expect a whole lot of crash outs from plebs. But I don't know. What are you feeling? What are you anticipating? Do you have any predictions going into this? Or are you...
Well, we dropped the tournament bracket pick'em challenge. You'll be able to fill out a bracket in the most accurate bracket. You win a prize this year. Last year we gave away a bit axe, some cypherpunk stickers, some candles, like a Bitcoin candle. What are we giving away this year?
We're going to give away a Bitcoin miner and some other goodies. I don't think we have
a axe.
What's that?
Not a bit axe, though. Like this is going to be some real uncle strength hash. This is going to be some real pioneer hash. This isn't going to be some little puny bit axe can barely get it up.
Well, isn't it closed source hash? Last way,
closed source. Yeah, there you go, closed source hash. We're going to give away tickets to the Revolution Rocks music festival in Belgrade, Serbia. Now, some of you out there might not have thought you ever have a reason to go to Belgrade. But if you win the Maxi Madness tournament, now you can go to a music festival with Bitcoiners, including the main event, the band Scardust, friends of the show, Noah and Lahav, who, if you tune in tomorrow, well, this, you're going to hear this on Monday. So if you go to our Twitter page and you watch the Maxi Madness selection show live stream, you might get a glimpse of Scardust in that. So go look for that.
I'm going to be DJing at that. I never thought that I would go to Belgrade. Serbia was never on my plans of places to go to. I guess I'm going to go to Serbia now. Well, maybe. It's hard to predict, you know, what things will look like with the world in the first turning. I'm sure it'll probably be fine. I'm planning on going to Serbia. But probably a good idea to get, like, travel insurance or whatever for refunds. But, I don't know. I'm excited for the madness. We're going to be, I think everybody is going to be extremely surprised about what we have up our sleeves this year. And I don't think
you're going to want to be on the timeline, whether it's NOS or ACT, whichever is your preferred one, because the crash outs aren't going to start when Maxi Madness begins on Thursday. The crash outs are going to start tomorrow morning when people find out who's in the brackets, but more importantly, who's not in the brackets. A lot of people are going to be grumpy. They're going to be pissed. They're going to be traumatic. They're going to be crashing out over not being in Maxi Madness. People who lived on Maxi Madness was so, oh, you know, let's do this funny one time, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to see Maxi Madness this year, and they're just going to be, they do like the no coiners who they write FUD and they talk shit about Bitcoin on Twitter and on their blogs and their stack or whatever news, Substack, because they didn't buy it and they would have been really rich if they did. So now they're just crumpy. They want to fail. People are going to be, they were short Maxi Madness. And once they see Maxi Madness this year, they're going to be grumpy. They weren't a part of it.
The selection committee put a lot of time and effort into making sure that we got it right. And I stand by everybody that's on the brackets and, you know, people complaining. I think it's just time to do a little self-reflection. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be nice. There's going to be a reason to post and get engagement about a topic that isn't BIP 110. I think.
Nice distraction.
Well, I don't think it's a distraction. I think it's a recalibration of what matters. I really do think that Maxi Madness very well could be the start of the bull market. I think there's
A lot of people are saying that.
Yeah, I wouldn't sleep on it. I think this is it, folks. But
you can bet on it at Predix. Go bet on the price being 100K by the end of March. Get your bet in before Maxi Madness starts, before the price starts pumping. You have an opportunity to come away with some pretty decent amount of cash. And if you play the bracket challenge and you vote in Predix, you bet on Predix during Maxi Madness, you have a chance to walk away with a whole lot more peer-to-peer electronic cash and peer-to-peer electronic hash. You give that S19 jit, bro. Your wife will have to ask, hey, is your bid axe on? Is your miner on? She'll hear it. Your wife will feel the rise. When you run an S19, when you run a bid axe, there's no noise. You know, that's one of the things they market. Solo Satoshi talks about is little bid axes, and they don't make any noise. But when you fire up a real ant miner, a real closed source hash miner, and it's kind of like starting a muscle car, like a 67 Barracuda, and that engine roars and it rumbles, and your wife, she's wearing those yoga pants like Isabella, and that rumbles in her, she goes, ooh, that tickles. That's what happens when you fire on an ant miner. It's loud, and the whole house vibrates. Could be one bomber taken off to go blow up Tel Aviv, Tehran. Huawei was some real gash, real ash.
I think the only woman that gets excited about the sound of a Bitcoin miner is probably John DiGiacomo's wife. Maybe D++. But I don't think there's very many. I don't think your wife will actually experience that. I could be wrong.
But I mean, if Fabiano likes a good loud miner.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if you're like, you know, you're suffering from ChatGPT psychosis and you're upset at your wife because she's not glazing you enough as much as ChatGPT.
You think Miss Hoddle is impressed by a BitX?
Depends on, I hope she's impressed by her husband's BitX.
Wives should be proud of their husband's BitXs, yes. I agree.
I mean, probably. I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing to speculate on. Is a wife impressed by her husband's BitX? But, yeah, I mean, if you're having ChatGPT psychosis, and you're upset at your wife because she's not glazing you hard enough, and you want to get back at her in a passive aggressive way, yeah, just fire up your Bitcoin miner, and you know, she'll lose her mind. But I don't know. We're so hyper focused on this Maxi Madness. There's a lot that we got to do. We're in crunch time right now, trying to get ready for this tournament. And I don't think there's ever enough preparation that you can do for an event like this.
No, you just, I mean, you plan. But you see, at the end of the day, everything comes down to the wire. And you just got to roll with it. You got to roll with the show. And you can't try to overplan, over prepare for Maxi Madness. Your preparation comes in the podcast you listen to, the conferences you attend, the situations you monitor, the raw milk you drink every day of the year. If you wait until the week of Maxi Madness to try to get in shape, to try to get your mind and your body in shape for Maxi Madness, you're gonna gas out in the first quarter of round one. You're not going to make you're going to crash out way too early. It's a slow and steady. Be prepared and do the best you can to put on the show, to be ready for the spotlight.
Yeah. Well, we have to cut this episode short because we got to get back to the madness. But you got anything before we jump in the Fallon Boost?
Make sure you fill out your bracket. Submit your chance to win. There's going to be more prizes. It's going to be spicy beef jerky from Bar Miner. If he makes it, it's hard. Sometimes hard to know if Bar Miner's going to pay attention to Telegram. There's going to be some candles, some cypherpunk stickers probably again. There's going to be some swag, some hats. It's going to be great. You're not going to want to miss the swag box.
Well, our first boost is from Katie, 23,000 sats, said, had to make it over to Fallon for a long overdue boost. The neocons, like the libtards, have never actually been in charge. They're both retarded for global domination. They're just masters at schlong gobbling the centuries old occult bloodlines that actually rule OV dot 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 dot. Well, they all worship Moloch.
There's a lot more evidence of this boost that for some reason it's cut off, obviously rule over us. However, it did help summon Baal with the public execution of Charlie Kirk inside the Pentagon. So ushering in the return of Jesus makes sense now. Some final boss showdown action. Can I place a Paul Inwork bet on this? Wow. Separate shout outs from Richard Kane Rod. Thanks, gentlemen. I'll add a deserving shout out to all moms of the pioneers. P.S. I traded in 2 decades for 40 hours for work in my first generation iPod for 40 HBW of Bitcoin podcasts. It was such a natural progression. Still love Tool though. Even if Maynard turned into a woke retard. Maynard did turn into a woke retard, unfortunately. A lot of rock stars that Gen X people look up to turn into woke retards.
I'm glad you caught that. I've never seen a boost get cut off like that before. I hope I haven't missed out on reading somebody's whole boost like that before, but
at least we caught it. Next one is 7,000 Sats from Lahav Scardust. He says, and so he does a bulleted point list of the his favorite points from the episode that earned the sats for the boost. And so the first one was Stargate Portal in Iran, check. And everyone loves thermodynamics until it's inconvenient for them. That's right. Thanks for the boost, Lav. And you're right. Everybody loves pleb slop until it's time to slop. Everybody's ready to do it until time's to come to do the work. And that's just the way it is. Pioneers know the struggle. The struggle is real.
Yeah, thanks for the boost, Lav. Lacey Channel 6006 at says, have y'all seen Dream Scenario? I don't know how to explain it, but absolutely loved it. I think it's my favorite Cage movie, but yes, Face Off, Con Air, etc. are like watching Creed's 2001 Thanksgiving halftime show performance. Dream Scenario is like seeing One Last Breath at the karaoke bar with Nick Cage and Scott Stapp. I haven't seen any of these movies. I've seen a lot of Nick Cage.
It's called Con Air. It's one of the best movies ever made, not Con Air. I do. I think I want to go put Con Air in the DVD after this. Thanks, Lacey Charnel. Those are great movies. I don't know where Richard Grease is watching. He's watching fucking some anime or some shit like Shinobi.
I just watch Lord of the Rings extended cuts on loop, pretty much. I like pretty much have Elven the language memory, or like I'm fluent in it at this point from watching this movie so many times.
Interesting. Sasha boosted us with 4,000 sats. Hashtag 40 HBW. Thank you, Sasha.
Open mic, 3,333 sats. Beagle My High Club, riding to Austin. Yeah, there was a big event in Austin this week that I couldn't make, unfortunately. I was pretty sad about that, but I think it's called South by Southwest or Bitcoin Takeover or something like that. I think it's South by Southwest is a music festival that's happening there, but Bitcoin Takeover happening in Austin, Texas right now. Sounded fun to me.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Owen Mike. 2,552 sats from Nope. Solely fire hash for 40 hours per week.
Vince, 2,001 sats says, thank you, gentlemen. Well, you're welcome, Vince.
Sean, 1,000 sats. Will Owen sats be funding Yocon node implementation? It's a very good question. They should. I think they should find the best node.
I think is Knots going to morph into Neocon node?
Yeah, Nazis they're not confident enough. Say what you want about Neocons, they are pretty confident when it comes to taking over control the narrative.
Kyle Huber, 444 chat says, great rip, appreciate you guys monitoring the situation for us. You're welcome. This last week of monitoring the situation has just been being bombarded with slop and nobody knows what's going on. I think including the credential journalists.
That's right. Next one to earn the resonance sass from God's Death. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, God's Death.
Pies, 121 sats, salute emoji, steak emoji, mushroom emoji, something like a golf club. I don't know what that is. Strong arm, prayer hands.
Thanks, guys. Next one, BTC on board, armored sass, bumped off salute. There you go.
Nostra Gang, 100 sats, heart emoji.
Silas Thornbrook. I'll tell you my bugle coughing blah. Flopped the creamer sugar. Fire sassy also boosted the next. The last boost. Fire sass for 100 episodes. Thank you. Thank you, Silas. Silas also noticed the anniversary.
Maybe Silas is a woman. Who knows? Well, thank you, folks, for the boost. Our subscribers, big thank you to you. BTC on board. Southside Dave, Boomer, Sasha, Fundamental, Sean, Late Stage Hoddle, Turkey, Open Mike, Avi Burra, and Shadrack. Thank you guys for supporting the show. Folks, apologies on the short episode this week. I'm sure that once you start looking at the timelines and you see what we're up to, you will not be disappointed, though. We'll catch you next week.
Who will be the one victorious? The one they will sing the story of? Who made it all the way to the end? Harness destiny to be the friend. Will they be a hero of the plebs? Or will a villain spin their webs? A hard-fought battle awaits to decide Maxi Madness's fate.
Molten fire teaching the plebs about corn. This battle is about Bitcoin or slavery, and the champion is the one who shows bravery. Defeating shadow bands when they thought we were nuts. Front running banks, running circles round fiat cops. Podcasting cause the TV won't televise the revolution. Cypherpunk, right code, the country value solution. We're building the world into the first turning. Rebuilding as all the institutions are burning. Making a room for compromise. We're gonna fight till the day we die.
They've been training all their lives. I hear the crowd as the moment arrives.
Maxi Madness, Maxi Madness.
This is the battle for eternal glory. To decide the one who is worthy. They'll put everything on the line in order to